Welcome to the Bull Gap Journal. It's about life, leadership, and common sense. I'm Robert Holmes. Some of you know me as Bob, a Sylacauga native, proud veteran, retired Brigadier General, and a community citizen at large. Today, my very special guest is Ms. Margaret Morton. Margaret, welcome.
Thank you.
Margaret's a familiar face around Sylacauga. She's the Chief Executive Officer of the Sylacauga Alliance for Family Enhancement, or SAFE as we know it. The Sylacauga Alliance for Family Enhancement was created in 1996 to address social and economic issues affecting families here in the Sylacauga area, especially children that are across our Sylacauga neighborhood in Talladega County. In 1998, Margaret assumed the position of SAFE's executive director, and over the last 25 years or more has dedicated herself to helping this community however she could. So, Margaret, like I said, you're a familiar face and a well-respected and welcomed face in our community. So thank you for that. So you grew up here in Sylacauga. So could you tell us about growing up here and then off to the university and then eventually coming back this way?
Yeah. Well, I was blessed to grow up in Sylacauga, Alabama, and in a family and in a neighborhood and with schools that focused on our health and well-being. I grew up in a family where both of my parents loved each other, and I had a brother who actually resides here in Sylacauga, Wynn Livingston, and he and I grew up in a neighborhood where literally everybody knew your name, as they say.
Yep, and we miss that these
days.
Yeah,
we do. We do, because we don't have that sort of connectedness that we used to have. I grew up right over here on Spring Drive, and again, with neighbors and friends that I still am friends with, that I grew up with, that are leaders in this community. And I was just fortunate. I think of the words of Colin Powell when he talks about America's Promise Alliance and the five promises that we should make to every child that's born into this world, and that is that they have safe places and that they have a significant other in their lives. And I had so many significant others, from my parents to my grandparents to my aunts to my uncles to my neighbors, etc. So if I didn't make it through life, it was my own me. It wasn't, I don't have any excuses.
So that was here in Sylacauga. So graduated Sylacauga High School.
Sylacauga High School in 1968, so you count it up.
I was three years ahead of you. Okay.
Good. And went on to the University of Alabama, where I earned my bachelor's in education. I had always known in my heart of hearts that I wanted to do something with my life that impacted the life of a child. Yeah. I loved babysitting. I loved being involved with children and families. And so I took that passion to the University of Alabama and went into elementary education.
Great.
Now, at that time, you know, women had one of two choices pretty much. That was teaching or nursing. Not so anymore, and
not
that's
so.
Again what
and
we're
thankfully,
about.
And thankfully, and great, it's not that way.
Absolutely,
anymore,
so. And so I went from there to went ahead and earned my master's in education and learning disabilities. It was up and coming at that given time. And then on to get my EDS later. But while I was at the University of Alabama, I was fortunate to meet a young man who was pursuing his doctorate
and
in education,
who would that be?
And that was Joe Morton. And so I never dreamed, honestly, in my wildest dreams, that I would ever come back to Sylacauga to live and raise my family.
Understand.
But God had a different plan for us, and so Joe's first position was superintendent of education in Livingston, Alabama, Sumter County Schools. Mm-hmm. He was 27 years old, the youngest person to ever be superintendent in Alabama.
Wow.
And I was 23. And so we went to Sumter County, and we were there for 3 years. Our first child was born there, Josh. And then one day I was in the kitchen, and Joe comes in from work, and he says to me, what would you think about moving to Sylacauga? Well, my heart stopped. For a lot of reasons, I thought, go back to Sylacauga. I don't know. But long and short of it is, God had that plan.
Good.
And so Joe accepted the position of superintendent here in Sylacauga in 1978, and we moved our family and then have lived here since.
Right. And then so you went into the education of
the
city
schools? I did. I taught.
Yeah,
I taught. Right. Well, when we moved here, I had been doing some work with higher ed in education at Livingston University, some teaching and that sort of thing. So
right.
When we got here, there was a position as a school psychometrist. I had also gone ahead and gotten my EDS while we were living in Livingston, and my educational specialist degree in special education, learning mm-hmm. disabilities, and I had a certification in to be a school psychometrist. So that position was opened here in Sylacauga, and I took that position.
Yeah.
And then went on and served in that role for a number of years until the State Department of Ed offered scholarships to go back to school to earn your certification in elementary mm-hmm. guidance and counseling. And so I did that and became the guidance counselor at Indian Valley Elementary School, which I say was probably, aside from what I do now, my most favorite.
Rewarding. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, because
yeah.
you could go in every single day, and those little children loved you,
yeah.
and you could, you know, it was just a
blessing.
Well,
that fit what you identified earlier as your purpose, which was to help children.
Exactly.
That's what your
exactly.
passion was, so
yeah.
you were doing that
yeah.
every day
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
So
little did I
yeah.
know, however, that God had another plan
yes.
in place.
Yes.
And so in 1996, 97, I was a part of a team of people who came together and developed a collaborative led by the then mayor, Jesse Cleveland,
right.
Around the whole issue of we have a wonderful school district, we have a wonderful community, but people are falling through the cracks. And we knew that welfare reform was headed our way. We wanted to be resilient, Bob,
right,
to good. Be able to respond rather than react to what was coming forward. And we knew about, in fact, we had been invited to participate in some work that was being done with the University of Alabama and community collaboratives around the building of a family resource center. And so we did a lot of work over the course of the next 2 years to assess where we were as a community. And, you know, we had three blue ribbon schools.
Right.
We had just received a national recognition for safe and drug-free schools. And it was really a fabulous time for children and families. However, we also knew we had warts. So the Family Resource Center was built out of that.
And so this was the foundational building for eventually what would be the Sylacauga Alliance for Family
yes,
Management.
Yes, it was. So, yeah. It was. And yeah. I was part of the team. We were extremely serious about how this was going to go and that we were going to build forward. And so we did a nationwide search for an executive director. And that executive director came in. He was from Texas, came in August, and he decided that this was not meant for him, and he wanted to take another pathway, and he left us in November. So the board came to me and said, hey, right. and we had such a collaborative relationship with the schools and with
right.
them, would you come in and on a part-time basis serve to kind of lead us through this transition? And I came in January of 1998.
On a part-time basis. That,
and I never have left.
That lasted yeah. for over 25 years.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah, and has been yeah. one of the blessings of my life.
Well, there's a reason all of it happened that way. So there's a greater reason than we mm-hmm. understand.
It
sometimes.
Is a greater reason.
So two years in the making, from what I heard there, to lay the foundation, and then eventually, and it got rolling. And in '98, you're invited to accept this offer that you could not refuse
mm-hmm.
to be the executive director.
Mm-hmm. Thinking I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, you know, I've got to tell you, there have been a number of times where I've said the same thing. What am I doing
what
here?
What
but
have
you
I got done?
To figure it out.
Yeah, you got to figure it out.
You got too many eyeballs staring at
yeah,
you, so
you
got to figure it out.
You do.
So let's talk about SAFE for a minute, mm-hmm. about the mission mm-hmm. and about the impact and significance that SAFE has on the community, Sylacauga, the Coosa Valley, and actually, you know, several surrounding counties.
Yeah, the region,
okay.
and more.
Yeah.
Yes, well, you know, our mission was to strengthen and support families. and that was to build collaboratives and relationships in the community to identify. It's strategic planning, and if there's anybody that knows about that, it would be you. Coming together as a community to determine where, what are our strengths, and it's all very strengths-based. What are our strengths, but what do we need to address to move forward and to be in a position to be responsive rather than reactive? And so we started out primarily focusing on children's issues, parenting education and support and that sort of thing, knowing that at the very earliest stages of conception is when that child's workforce development capacity begins to develop. And so not that we wanted to ever take the place or overlap or duplicate what was already in existence, but to work together to enhance it, to grow it, and to be in a position to pivot as the need happens. And so out of that, We started with this interesting, we had a small grant. We started out with $5,000, which was gifted to us by the Alabama Civil Justice Foundation to do this work, to do the needs assessment and the strategy building and that sort of thing, and went, and over the course of the, I've just looked at this, these figures, we have brought over 41, $42 million back to this Silicon community. Yeah. So if you
and
look
that's
at
that's an important thing to know as we look at community development.
It is, sure. It is. And not only that, but just in lives changed and opportunities.
So how many, and I don't want to put you on, but how many programs have you got right now that are aimed at the community?
Probably, I'd say 20 to 25.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And all touching various elements
across
of
the age span.
Of the individual, the family,
the community.
The community, so that's
yes,
great.
Yeah.
How many employees at SAFE now?
Well, it's interesting because we started out with like 4 employees, and now we have over 200.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're an economic, we have a lot of economic value to
you
this
do.
Community and this region.
Well, you've got cultural, social, and behavioral values
yes.
that you leave
yeah.
with us. But okay, we're gonna go to break. But when we come back, I'm going to talk about an exciting part of your vision that we call Earth, which
yes.
is something that we'll talk about, and we'll
sure.
explain that when we come back after break. Hey, we're visiting with Margaret Morton, the Chief Executive Officer of the Silicon Alliance for Family Enhancement, or SAFE. We've talked about her getting to Silicon, how she got here, and how she arrived to be the CEO at SAFE after now 25 years of being there, the importance that she has and makes on the community. So join us after the break, and we'll talk a little bit more about Margaret's personal view of leadership, being a role model, and what's important. Welcome back to the War Gap Journal. Today is our special guest is Margaret Morton, the CEO of Silicon Alliance for Family Enhancement. Many of you know Margaret. And the first segment we talked about Margaret's, you know, having been born and raised in Silicon, then went off for a while and then came back to do these great things that, for the community with the Silicon Alliance or SAFE. We're going to bring up one thing we'll talk before I get into, I want to talk to you mm-hmm. about your personal views and what you see as important for leadership, but there's something that we've got to talk about in your vision at SAFE, and that's mm-hmm. particularly the East Alabama Rural Innovation and Training Hub. Could you, or EARTH, as many mm-hmm. people know it, could you just take a minute and tell us about that?
Absolutely. This is a vision that is becoming a reality as we speak, to create a multi-integrated opportunity for workforce development, for innovation and incubation. And Bob knows just a little bit about
yes.
this because he's been involved with us on the development. It truly is, at its very heart, collaboration, partnership, We've always called it dinner on the grounds, but in reality, it's that collective impact. It's coming together around a common vision, sharing responsibilities, sharing outcomes, having that vision, and making that vision become a reality. And so we are in moving into phase two as we speak, and on to the construction of the hub, which is the East Alabama Rural Innovation and Training Hub.
And this will be an integrated offering to the community for workforce development, for incubation of small businesses, mm-hmm. for and many of the programs that you mm-hmm. do at SAFE, which are designed to help people achieve
right.
their purpose, their potential,
right.
you know,
their
hopes, life.
Dreams, and ambitions.
Exactly.
Yes.
And this is so important. And one thing that, so this is really going to be about a 5 to 7 year project or so.
Maybe sooner.
Maybe sooner. Okay.
Maybe sooner.
Well, I don't
yeah.
want to jinx it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And at a cost of probably it's going to run into 25 to 30 million just to get the campus set.
Right.
And then into yeah. some yeah. operating funds or yeah. resources to
and
keep these programs
exactly.
going.
Exactly. So. And we have been so fortunate to have support from across the state
right.
and across the community, across the county, and across the region.
You've got some great support in the state.
Yeah, we do, and we have had already the Governor Ivey, invested in her team $1.75 million. And if you have not been by the old Avondale Mill site and
well, we failed to mention that. Bad on me for not, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's where Earth will reside. That's where
right.
Earth will be. Safe at Earth will be, too.
Good.
And so that's 30 acres, possibly additional space,
right.
but 30 acres that's owned by the Talladega County Board of Education
right.
and the Public School and College Authority awarded Talladega County Schools $1.75 million to clean up the space. And guess what? We are about a month or so away from that space being completely ready for the next
Great.
Phase.
And this is another important part of this is the partnership with Talladega County Board of Education.
Well, Talladega County Board of Education, Central Alabama Community College, Sylacauga
yes.
City Schools, Talladega County Schools, business and industry, and I cannot
yeah.
say enough about
right.
that. Colleges, universities, it has been awesome, and I don't use that word lightly.
Right.
In the level and individual citizens and the level of investment and interest and commitment to Earth.
Now, I think I'm correct here. This will be, when it's completed and functioning, will be a benchmark, a national benchmark.
Yes.
Particularly with what a rural community
yes.
can do.
Yes.
In order to pull itself up and get
yeah,
it done
yeah.
with its people, its families.
People. It's bottom up.
So,
it is
exactly.
absolutely bottom up, community based, solution finding.
I'm excited as this matures and comes about being because it will for
it's transformational.
Exactly.
It's
exactly,
absolutely so. Transformational, and it we have done some the community, the county, the region. We've done
right.
a lot of homework. And we've done some economic impact studies, and the economic impact to this region of Alabama, to the state as a whole, is predicted in the early stages to be over $68 million.
Right.
So thus we have a lot of interest.
It's exciting.
And support.
It's exciting, and I'm really looking forward
yeah.
to the as,
yeah.
as this emerges and moves along.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about Margaret. We're going to talk about leadership. You're a role model to many in this community.
Yeah.
Well, you are.
I
know your humility.
That's humbling.
Is not,
yeah,
it is.
That's humbling.
I understand, but that it's folks like me that need to call that out and sort of dig in and find some things out. So, so over the course of your career, many people have recognized your excellence in terms of being a leader. Being a role model. This year you were inducted into the University of Alabama's Hall of Fame for the College of Education.
Mm.
What an honor.
Yeah. Yes.
And 2 years ago, CBS 42 recognized you as a Central Alabama's Woman of the Year. And in the same year, Alabama Supreme Court Chief yeah. Justice Tom Parker presented you with a Lifetime Achievement Award. So people recognize the value, the worth, and what you bring as a leader to just getting things done. So as we talk about leadership, principle, and values, in your role as a role model and leader, what values, what attributes in a leader do you find important and that you would want to embrace?
I think that integrity is at the top of the list. I think that passion, I think that compassion, empathy, I think when you talk about leadership, sometimes we think that's just a discussion of management of people, but it's not.
Right.
It's a team approach, and it's value for every contribution that each of us brings to that team. It's a role that really is a collaborative role, and it's one that brings people together to have a discussion and to be able to listen and to work together towards a common vision. And
I'm gonna stop you for 1 minute. Mm-hmm. I want you to repeat that last sentence you just made about the importance of collaboration, coming together,
common vision.
And
owning it. To be able to be honest with people. Honesty is more than just telling the truth, but it's being truthful.
Right.
And being able to say, whoops, we didn't get this right.
So what you've just captured, and the reason I sort of stopped us for a minute to go back is, and you and I've had this discussion before about civility.
Yes.
And the need for it. In today, and I'm just daily, I'm embarrassed to see our lack of civility all around us. So what you've just said was so important. I couldn't let that go by.
Well,
so,
and I appreciate,
excuse me for interrupting.
No, and I appreciate that because I think that is at the very heart of who we are as people. And if we are leaders, it has to be at our very heart that we respect you because you are a creation of the Lord God Almighty. And we respect you because you're a human being, and we might not agree with you, and that's okay.
That's absolutely.
But we've got to be able to agree to disagree, and we've got to be able to do it with civility and respect. And absolutely, that is at the heart of who we are as a country. Right. And certainly, Bob, you fought for that right.
Well, I was honored and blessed to be surrounded by a lot of America's sons and daughters who fought for that, and they led me along, and I'm just glad they let me be on their team.
Well, it is a team, but it is about respect.
Right. It is about respect. So, and to me, that goes to the heart of leadership. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's about respect. Mm-hmm. You've got to have respect for those around you, and you've got to respect them in such a way that you earn their confidence to lead them.
Exactly.
You know, because if you don't have that, then
and their ability to grow
and
become a leader within themselves. You know.
Right. I always look for who could do it better than me because that was going to be the next leader.
Exactly.
You know, don't be afraid of that. Just, you know, and so I would point out, hey, you can do this much better than I can do it. So hop on up there.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And I'm supporting
exactly.
You, so. And that doesn't let go of your role in leadership. It just means that you respect the talent around you. So thanks for letting me take that segue on civility.
Absolutely. That's point on.
So earlier you talked about your purpose in the first segment, your driving passion, your purpose to want to help children, to reach out to children, mm-hmm. to help them grow and to develop. So that I would say is if we were to define your life's purpose, that would begin to encapsulate that.
Absolutely.
So what drives you today? Is it still that same purpose? What drives you today as a leader in the community to do what you do, to lead safe, and to lead other things like Earth to make a difference?
Well, on a lighter note, I probably would have some people tell you that I'm a hard-headed woman. But I think it's the joy that you get in return for what you do, what you give. And so, you know, you get up every morning saying to the Lord, thank you, Lord, for, as my little granddaughter says, for waking me up this morning. But I was awakened this morning for a purpose. And so to fulfill that purpose and to fulfill it with joy is what drives me.
Good. Joy.
Yeah.
So purpose, you do it, and it's joyful in because that you've you've got what you need because you've fulfilled
it's
a purpose.
The joy in the doing, you know, it's not the recognition in the doing, but it's the it's what happens at the end of the at the end of the day.
So somewhere there's a, another Margaret, okay, that's out there, a young person. Either male or female that wants to follow a path and would share that passion. So what life lesson, what would you say to them as they would embark on this?
I would say find your people. Mm-hmm. Find those individuals that, and be willing to learn, be willing to be a lifelong learner and to appreciate the talents that others bring to the table, and to associate yourself with those people that share your common vision and your love, and learn from them. Be willing to learn from them. I've had some tremendous role models in my life. It's just like Colin Powell said, significant others in your life that you put in your wagon to carry you through the tough times.
That's right.
And so I think that's what I would say is, you know, find your people.
Find your people. That's
and
important.
Find your and set your compass, your values compass.
Right.
And I think you God will lead you the rest of the way.
I agree. Well, Margaret, thank you.
Thank you.
This has been a joy to go through this with you, and I appreciate your spending a half hour here with us to talk about this. Margaret Morton, the Chief Executive Officer, the Chief Executive Officer of the Sylacauga Alliance for Family Enhancement, has joined us today, and we talked about SAFE and all of the great things that SAFE is doing, and then we dug down and talked to Margaret about her role as a leader and a role model. So it's so important. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you so much.
So thank you for watching in today on the Bull Gap Journal. We talk about life, leadership, and common sense. If you want to know more about the journal, please go to radioalabama.net/bullgap. Thanks a lot.